You can doubt the Chiefs. You can dislike the Chiefs. You can disrespect the Chiefs. You're going to have to deal with the Chiefs.
That is, is this the Atlanta Braves song? That is the, that's the voice of Mitch Holthus, who is one of the radio voices of the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, again, a Super Bowl team. They will be playing in New Orleans against the Philadelphia Eagles. That game will happen in just under 2 weeks' time. And it's time to go back to the guest line today. And we welcome back Danan Hughes, who is the radio analyst, who is Mitch Holthus's partner, and he's with us now. Well, hey, congratulations, Danan.
What happened?
I don't know. You tell us.
I think the Chiefs punched somebody in the face.
That's what
The mouth.
In the mouth. Yeah. See how I teed that up for you guys?
That's right.
It fit right in. It was perfect.
Punch somebody in the mouth.
That's right. That's what we did.
I know. This is what the Chiefs do now. They just win and go to the Super Bowl, but it's kind of amazing, right?
Yes, it is. I mean, when you sit back and think of it, I think, you know, the initial thoughts at this point, you know, first of all, let's realize that there's a generation of kids, sub 20, 21-year-olds that believe this is normal. Like, they think, this is just how it always is. And we know, from being back here in the 80s and the 90s, of all the pain and agony that we put through the Chiefs fans and a lot of the players, obviously, in disappointment in January and not getting to the promised land and not even putting our best foot forward after great regular seasons to do so. So on one hand, you're like, you know, you savor it and you realize that this is something special. On the other hand, I'm sure there are people that's like, oh, this is just a foregone conclusion. The season, let's hurry up and get the regular season over with so the Chiefs can go to the playoffs and ultimately to the Super Bowl. So that's a good spoiling, but it is special to sit back. I was on the call last night, posted a few videos online of us being in the booth and Mitch with his epic calls and you know, the excitement in the booth and the excitement down on the field and in the locker room and the interviews and post game. The music blasting in the locker room, and you just recognize sometimes it throws you for a little bit, and you get a little jolt of, wow, like this is for real exciting and for real, you know, life changing for a lot of these players and the organization. You think about Borgonzi, who's got the GM job in Tennessee. He may not have that job if we don't have the success. Think about all the job security of this entire staff, coaches that might leave, other office personnel, and that will get upgrades in their jobs, and you know, the players that will have forever life experiences and life changing dynamics that go into their income, to their household, to their future income. There's so many dynamics that go into it that you sit back at times like, wow, man, this is beyond cool.
Yeah, you're talking about a young group of fans that just feel like this is how it's supposed to be. And I have a few friends from Boston who all of their teams won over like a 20-year period. Every single team won a championship, which is insanity. And that's a hard thing to realize if that's what you're used to, that at some point it's not going to be that anymore. However, you just have to enjoy the ride as it's happening.
And, you know, also recognize the different dynamic. I'm born and raised in Jersey, 5 minutes from New York City. All the sports, baseball, basketball, football, soccer, hockey, everything that's all, you know, boggled up into those metropolitan areas. Same thing with Boston. We have the Royals, we have the Chiefs. Like, and what we're experiencing that started, you know, early when Andy Reid took over, and then a couple of years of the Royals going to the playoffs and then winning a pennant and winning a World Series, like, and then the Chiefs basically taking over from there and winning Super Bowls, like, we got all our eggs in the basket here in Kansas City of the Royals and Chiefs. You guys have hockey and baseball there in St. Louis. But when you talk about Boston, you talk about New York, you talk about L.A., they have such an assortment of options. And so their spoiling is justified because they have, well, the Giants are terrible, but the Devils won it, or the Islanders win it, or something like that. While here, it's like all of our eggs are in Kansas City, and they just continue to deliver.
Danan, I know, yesterday a ton of fun with the NFC Championship, AFC Championship games back-to-back. Did all of the Chiefs players run out onto that field knowing that they were fighting for a chance to play the Eagles? Did they see any of the game? Do they just hear about it because they've got to focus?
Actually, they had it playing on the Jumbotron. They had the games on the board, on the field. So while the guys were doing their pre-game warm-ups and walk, their pre-game routines, Patrick goes out on the field, he walks the sideline, sits on the bench, stays by himself. This is before he starts warming up and stretching and throwing. So the game's up on the board, and every football player will tell you, hey, I'm a fan of football too, and especially when you talk about the Final Four, they're watching that game in the locker room. You're hearing people, somebody's got their phone on watching it. You go into the training room to get treatment. The radio is probably blasting as well. So if anybody would ever say, oh, we were so laser focused, Amy, on our game, we didn't pay attention, they're lying. They're lying. Everybody was paying attention to that Eagles game.
Wow.
And they knew that they had an opportunity for it to be a run it back situation 2.0.
So your partner, Mitch, during the call, you heard it right off the top where he said, basically, like it or not, you're going to have to deal with the Chiefs. And there are a lot of people who are tired of them. I want you to hear this and then respond to it. Nate Burleson, former Lions and Vikings receiver, Browns, too. He's on CBS Sports coverage of the game last night. And here's what he had to say about that.
If you're not a Chiefs fan, that's okay. But resist the urge to fall for the narrative that we're tired of seeing them win, that we might be fatigued of watching KC go to the Super Bowl over and over again. You are witnessing greatness, and just be happy that you are alive to be there to see it.
So what do you think of that? I would say it's easy as a Chiefs fan to say, well, obviously, yeah, enjoy the greatness while we have it. But is he right to say that to other fans?
1,000% right. And here's why. What everybody has to do, whether they choose to or not, that's on them. Whatever, we got mirrors around our houses, mirrors around our apartments. Look in the mirror, and you have to decide for yourself, am I a football fan or am I fill in the blank organization fan? And to me, as a former football player, I've always been football fan, baseball fan, basketball fan, in that way. And yes, I could input a team. Like when I was growing up and I was a teenager in Jersey, I loved the Mets. Daryl Strawberry, Dwight Gooden, Wally Backman, Gary Carter. I can go through the whole starting lineup and the pitchers. That's what I was. In the 70s, when I was a smaller kid, I was a Yankee fan because of Reggie Jackson, Mickey Rivers, Chris Chambliss, all those guys. As a baseball, I never really was a specific team football fan growing up because baseball was my first love. My point is, and I think what he's saying is, if you're truly a fill-in-the-blank fan, sports fan, enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Remember it. Savor it, because these are the stories that I'm sure a generation like mine have said, man, I got to play with Joe Montana. I got to catch a pass. I got to catch touchdowns from Joe Montana and practice with him. Those are the things that fans of the game of football say. I don't think about, Joe only won Super Bowls when he was with San Francisco 49ers, and I'm not a Niner fan. No, I appreciated the greatness that I got to witness as a fan. So I 100% agree with Nate on that. I understand there's going to be people on both sides of the fence. I get it. But I think if you really, truly embrace being a fan of a game, then you gotta love greatness when you see it. Love it when Jordan was doing it. Love it when Kobe, LeBron, Steph, heck, Pujols. I mean, you can go through the list of greatness that we got to witness, and you should just savor that.
You know, along those lines, and it's a little, it's hard for us here, right? Because losing the Rams was devastating. But I love the game of football. And I was saying, cheering on the Chiefs yesterday, I was a little bit, I almost felt guilty because I really like watching Saquon Barkley play. And so now he'll be going up against
the Chiefs.
She's
saying that she's rooting for Saquon to do really well in 2 weeks.
I'm not saying that.
No, she is saying that.
You got to respect Barkley when you're playing against him.
He'd be jumping backwards all over all your defenders.
Come on,
that's
Rod.
What she said it during
the
break.
Saying. Ugh.
How is this relationship going to go anywhere?
I don't know. Now I'm crying.
I'm supportive.
You know, In two weeks, it's quits. It's over. I'm not. In
he's talking
2 weeks,
to me or
I can't
Rod?
Do this anymore with you.
He's talking about you.
Are you talking to me, Danon?
Yeah. After two more weeks, then our relationship is over. I'm sorry.
Oh, I just
until next
see
year.
See what you've done.
I was trying to love the game. Danon told me love the game.
You can love the game, but then you didn't read the fine print.
Love the game, hate the player.
Don't hate the Chiefs. Don't root against the Chiefs.
I'm not rooting against the Chiefs.
We got to get you some readers from Walmart so you can see the fine print on that. You can love the game and love players, but then in the fine print, like the bottom line when you go get your eye test that you never can read anyway, that bottom line says, but don't root against the Chiefs.
Amy She just doesn't get it, Danon.
No, I'm not rooting against the Chiefs.
She just doesn't get it.
I got my Chiefs sweater on. I was just saying I respected that guy that's going to lose in 2 weeks.
Let me, that's not what you said. You said, you said something like,
no.
She said something like, I hope he runs for 200 during the Super Bowl.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, that's not good if he does.
Danon, don't believe.
You probably want him to perform at halftime, too, right?
You know what? What if he only performed at halftime? That would work for all of us.
But actually, along the Saquon Barkley.
I'm sweating
Barkley,
right now. I'm so nervous that Danon's mad at me. I'm sweating.
You shouldn't have done this. But along the lines of that, we talked about it a couple of months ago when he had that run and he leaped backwards over the defender. And there's that video of it was somebody shooting from like low, but behind the Eagles bench, and they caught all of the Eagles reacting to it. Do you think, would you have had the same reaction if you were on the sideline, even if you were on the opposing sideline?
Yes, absolutely. And it kind of goes back to that original point of when we were talking about whether the Chiefs were watching the Eagles game and saw them playing yesterday. The players are fans. And when they see greatness, they recognize greatness. Now, doesn't mean like the next play I wouldn't have wanted to bury him in the turf as an opponent. But that play, it's one of those deals where you tip your cap. You're like, wow, that was really cool. I can't wait to see that on SportsCenter later. But the next play and the next play after that, like I want to drive you through the turf because we're trying to win this football game. And you see it more so in the NBA, whether it's a crossover that drops a guy to his knees or Steph Curry shooting a three and then turning away from it before it goes in the net or a dunk over somebody, you see the opponent sideline as well as their teammates. Like, you'll see guys that'll be celebrating or shielding their eyes or doing something. Remember Steph Curry in the Olympics?
Oh, yeah.
When he hit that final three? Was on the side of the court where the other team was. And you can see on their sideline while he was shooting those threes of guys, you know, shaking their head, covering their eyes, turning away from the camera, you know, giggling, putting their hand over their mouth and laughing. Because you can't help but be a fan at certain times, no matter what you want the outcome to be. So, I think that's the case.
I'm thinking of this now because you mentioned Michael Jordan. You played, your football career coincided with him winning all those championships. It was going on at the same time. and appreciating greatness in other sports even. What was that like during that time? I mean, were you guys in the locker room talking about, you know, Michael Jordan?
Oh, absolutely. And then you have the guys that are diehard Laker fans, diehard Detroit Pistons fans. Obviously, me being from the New York area, you had Knicks fans that hated him but can appreciate his prowess and his greatness. I'll tell you one quick, this is like the perfect kind of segue for me personally. I went to one NBA game during my professional career. I went up to Chicago and went to a Bulls game. Do you know that it was the game right before he came back?
Oh, wow.
How bad is that, right? Like, I didn't time it. Nobody knew he was coming back. It was just that year, when he went to play baseball, and there was chatter about it, but no one knew. It was like the best-kept secret, like the CIA or something. And then I go up to a game, just enjoying the game, enjoying Chicago during the off season, and then the next day he comes back.
Dude.
And I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, my one day of all the time. Like, makes me the Rodney Dangerfield of, you know, the Chiefs players.
If it makes
no respect.
If it makes you feel better, the MLS, that's what happened here because Miami played St. Louis. And then the very next week, Messi started his MLS career.
Well, yeah, so, yeah.
Does that make
that
you feel better?
It actually felt personal.
And it would have been, he would have been here in St. Louis had he started a week earlier.
But it felt personal. Like, I felt like Messi thought, I'm not starting.
Yeah.
I'm not starting in St. Louis.
It felt
personal. Ugh.
Unbelievable. Yeah, unfortunate. But, yeah, it was a special time. And I think I've always been a guy that's appreciated greatness. Even if they were on the opposite sideline from me, I played against Jerry Rice. I played against Steve Young, played with multiple Hall of Famers, played against several, obviously. And I can appreciate them, but during those minutes, the 60 minutes of the game, like, I hate you. And, like, that's okay. And then after the game, heck, I might want to take a picture with you. I might want to have an autograph. I might want to introduce you to my son. And we can go about our lives, but I can appreciate it while still hating you. Two things can be true at once.
That's right.
It's like Amy loving Saquon Barkley, wanting the Eagles to win, and then just being nice to me.
No,
see, that's what we. That's,
absolutely
that's
not.
Cool.
No.
She's really playing both sides.
No,
here.
Here's what I thought. Look at Saquon Barkley. What an amazing player that the Chiefs are going to punch in the
Dana,
mouth. In
she's
two
a,
weeks.
She's what we call a turncoat.
Oh my gosh.
Dana Hughes, we love you, man. Well, we're going to go. We're putting you to work on Friday. You have to talk to us on Friday still. So
please.
Yeah. All right. We got a couple more Fridays until Amy just disconnects this relationship. All right.
My boss is going to be so
Dana
mad.
Hughes, you're the best. Thank you.
All right. Take care, guys.
That is former receiver Dana Hughes, current Chiefs radio analyst. He joins us every Friday, and he also happens to join us when the Chiefs become AFC champions, like what happened yesterday. It's the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX.